John chapter 11. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Glory to God. Can you imagine going to one of those churches that's hallelujah. Hallelujah, brother. I live in Texas, amen. Hallelujah, and I'm Baptist, glory to God. And Jesus is alive, amen. Amen. John chapter 11. I feel like preaching a little bit here tonight. Amen. It's all good. Let's sing. Let's stand together, if you would. Let me begin reading in John 11, verse 14. Verse 14, John chapter 11. Then said Jesus unto them plainly. It's a good thing when Jesus goes ahead and speaks plainly, isn't it? We need Jesus' plain speech. By the way, this old book is written at a sixth grade level. Okay? Plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent ye may, what's that word?
Believe.
Then nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, doubting Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. They thought they were going to go back and die because the Jews hated Jesus by this point. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I want to help your people. I want to be a blessing. Lord, I pray you'd help me. God, fill me with your spirit. May I say and do everything that is necessary according to your perfect will for this service here tonight. Lord, these people are not here to hear from me. Lord, please help us to hear from heaven. Bind Satan. Remove all distractions, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Lazarus is dead. Now, there's no beating around the bush there. Like I said, Jesus made it plain to them, Lazarus is dead. I'm not going to go into the whole background here, but Lazarus had been sick. Mary and Martha, his sisters, had sent for Jesus to tell Jesus, hey, Lazarus, the one whom thou lovest, is sick. But now Jesus has not done nothing for 4 days. Now, Lazarus, more than 4 days, because Lazarus had died and been dead for 4 days already before Jesus got back to Bethany. Now, I want to tell you something here quickly before we get into this. Let me tell you this. The name Lazarus has an interesting meaning. Lazarus is a word, a name that means God's help. Okay? God's help or assistance. God's help or God's assistance. Now, this is a time then that when we put Lazarus there, and his name is Lazarus, but what it means, God's help, and Jesus is plainly saying to his disciples that Lazarus is dead. Yeah. Now, Mary and Martha are the ones who are going through this. Their brother Lazarus, their younger baby brother, is dead. But what we're looking at here, spiritual application here, is there's a great time now of confounding going on in Mary and Martha's hearts. The word confounding, obviously, just confusion, just insecure, unaware of what's really going on. Lazarus, God's help, God's assistance, God's aid, is dead. They sent for Jesus. They sent for the one that could heal him before he died. They sent for the one that was able, the great physician, amen, Almighty God in the flesh, who had already done far above anything anybody could ever imagine. They sent for their help, but instead of getting help, they got confounded. They got confused. They got themselves in a place where now they don't understand anything. Everything is upside down. Lazarus is dead. Now tonight I want to look at this with you and understand some things. In our lives, there are times where Lazarus seems literally, as far as we know, is dead. The help of God that we need just doesn't seem to come through when we need it the most. The help that we know God can. Mary and Martha knew that Jesus was the answer. Mary and Martha knew that Jesus was the one that they needed to send for. They knew, they had no doubt about it. They sent for Jesus when they knew. Hey, listen, they didn't wait till Lazarus died. They went for help as soon as Lazarus was sick. But Lazarus died. And Jesus says in verse 14 plainly, Lazarus is dead. God's help is dead. God's assistance is dead. Mary and Martha, as far as they're concerned, God did not help them. God did not come through for them when they needed him the most. And that's that. Every one of us is going to go through times like that. Everyone, as a church and as individuals, we're going to go through times like that. And this is a tremendous help if you listen tonight, that because there's a time of confounding that every one of us needs to go through. But look what it says in verse 15. Jesus says, "I'm glad."
Amen.
Oh. I'm glad. Yeah. That God's help, God's assistance didn't come through when you wanted it to. Jesus in heaven is saying, hold on, understand something. I'm glad that this happened.
Yeah.
And why is he glad? Because he says, because this is going to help you believe more. Listen, in other words, what he said is, if I would have gone and healed Lazarus while he was sick, that would have helped. But this is going to help far more.
Yeah. Come on, breathe.
This is a story, dearly beloved, of God's working in our lives to increase our faith. That's what he says in verse 15. He says, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now think about that. I'm glad for your sakes, disciples, that Lazarus died. That Lazarus he went ahead and perished. And I wasn't there, but I'm glad because now you're going to be able to believe and your faith is going to be stronger because I'm going to do something more than just heal a sick man. I'm going to do more. And see, Jesus, the Bible tells us that the Lord God Almighty is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lazarus is dead, though. There's a time of confounding in Bethany. Martha and Mary are weeping. This is, by the way, this was not an imaginary problem.
Right.
Okay? But I want you to see, it says in verse 18, Bethany was nigh. Verse 19, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. I want you to see, number one, the false comfort. The false comfort that the world offered. See, everything seemed to be completely dark now. The clouds of death had settled in over Mary and Martha's hearts and home.
Right.
All of Bethany knew that this was not a big town. This was a small town of Bethany. Everybody knew each other. Amen. And they knew Lazarus is dead now. This member of our community is dead.
Right.
And now they're over there offering comfort to Mary and Martha as the world tries to do. Whenever you get at a place where you're confounded and you can't seem to find God and God is not there, you better be careful. Listen, because there's always going to swoop in those who offer that false comfort. That worldly comfort that makes you think, well, this is probably what I need instead of the Lord, because after all, the Lord failed me. Now, I know you would say, well, preacher, I would never understand something. This is how Satan works. This is how you and I and our lack of faith and our weakness, our weak faith. Listen, the devil sees that. He knows. Listen, by the way, he knew that Lazarus was dead.
Right.
And so there was false comfort sent over there to that house. There was worldly comfort to comfort them. Now, what comfort is that going to be? What comfort is that's really no comfort at all. Let's think about that. I mean, Lazarus is still dead. They're over there comforting Mary and Martha and maybe trying to console them in their loss. But understand, that's really not comforting at all. That can't do anything to change the situation.
That's right.
The world's always going to come to you when you're at your lowest. You understand that? When your faith is weak, when your faith is weary, when you're weary and walking and you're not seeing God, and Lazarus, God's help, is literally dead and it didn't come through, and you don't have the answers, and he's not answering prayer, and nothing's changing. Matter of fact, things are getting worse because they got worse.
Right.
He didn't get better. He died.
Yeah.
Here comes the world. Here comes those who are trying to offer their comfort, trying to tell you what they think is real, is going to help you, but the world cannot give any real comfort.
Amen.
What are they going to say? What are they going to do? They're just as confused and confounded as you are. But understand something, that we have to be very careful that to be aware of what's going on, to be discerning that when Lazarus is dead, there's going to come false comforts, false hopes from the world.
Yep.
That are going to make you try to see or look at things from a different perspective. The world's trying to tell you that it's okay, that don't worry about it, it's no big deal, you'll be all right. And listen, I'm sure that they meant well. I don't mean that at all. But that wasn't what they were looking for. That wasn't what they were praying for.
Right.
And that wasn't going to help them really at all. See, God gives real help, folks.
Amen.
Real help.
Amen.
No, he doesn't just help you, pat you on the back and pat you on the head and console you. He gives real help. Our God in heaven says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He gives real help.
Amen. Amen.
The world just gives you pats on the back. Nice comforting words. And again, I understand that may be good, well intentions. I'm not against all that. That's fine. But dearly beloved, listen, that's not the real source of help. That's not what's going to help you in the time of Lazarus being dead. When God seems to be gone, which sometimes he's going to do that on purpose.
Right.
Jesus didn't just forget about Lazarus. Jesus didn't just forget about Mary and Martha. He said, I'm not going back there on purpose. I'm glad that he died, because now what's going to happen now is you're going to have increased faith more than you ever would have before. But see, Jesus didn't forget. But the world steps in and tries to offer false comfort. It's not real comfort at all. But then, in the face of that false comfort, look at verse 20 now. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And it says in verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, she was absolutely right. But she's confronting Jesus. She heard he was coming. There's no time for her to prepare her heart. She's grieving. She's got all this worldly philosophy trying to comfort her in her mind. And here comes Jesus, the one who really can help her. And she confronts him in haste. She literally attacks him and accuses him of his fault. It's your fault, Lord, that this happened. If you would have been here, this would have never happened. Now, she's right. But she's wrong in her spirit. She's right, but she's wrong in her attitude. She's right, but she's wrong. She's in haste without considering really this is Jesus. That world is not really going to... She's just reacting to a situation and really making a fool of herself. But you know, every time that God works in our hearts, things like this, when again, the Lazarus is dead, God's help is not there, and we tend to just fly off the handle at the very, very first time we get an opportunity, and we like to blame God.
Oh, preach it.
Because, like I said, she was right.
Yep.
She was right. Jesus could have changed the whole thing. And that's what you think, isn't it? That's what we go through in our hearts and our minds. We go through that time of saying, Lord, you know, you could have changed this. I did not need this. This is not helping me. This is your fault. Now, we don't say it like that, but we know in our hearts, God could have changed this. God could have made this different. God could have stopped this from happening. Amen. Come on, get a witness. Yes, he could have. Absolutely. But don't overlook the fact that he's got a better plan. Don't overlook the fact that he didn't forget about you. Amen. Don't overlook the fact that he knows what he's doing and that he's got a bigger plan, something better in store for you than what you wanted him to do.
Amen. Yep. That's good. Yep.
No, and listen, I know I'm sitting here preaching to myself, because we all go through time. Lazarus dies sometimes, folks. God's help just disappears. And a day goes by. A week goes by. Now this time, in this case, it was only 4 days. But that's just, it could have been any amount of days. That didn't matter. That didn't matter. The grief was still there. The mourning was still there. And you know, they say that time heals all wounds. And quite frankly, it all that does is really help you, keeps you from thinking about it as much. But really, it's always there when it comes up. You always, if you're not careful, it's always in the back of your mind. God, you could have changed that. You could have changed this. Now, so there's false comfort in her mind now. The world, she's thinking, here's what she's thinking. Don't forget this now. She's thinking, Lord, you know, the world showed up before you did. Because they did. The world showed up before you did. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? You know, you look at Jesus and you think, you know what? I thought you were my friend. These people showed up before you did. Boy, what a problem. What a big mess. But I mean, it's happening. It's real. We had people show up that came to comfort us because you didn't show up, Jesus. That's what she's saying. So she's got this in the back of her mind. Jesus, you didn't show up. My friends from the world showed up before you did. Martha's hasty. Martha's reacting. Listen, Martha's just reacting in haste to a real situation. She's accusing Jesus of making the mistake. You've got to be real careful. We've got to learn, amen, that we should never ever doubt what God is doing.
Amen.
You know that, what is real faith? I mean, if real faith is believing God, period. Believing God regardless of what we see, regardless of what anybody else does or says, regardless of what even God does or says. We know that He's right. We know that He's perfect. We know that He's working. And that Jesus, see, Martha did not hear the statement that Jesus made to His disciples over here in verse 15. When He said, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad for your sakes, Martha didn't hear that. But she should have known that. And we need to learn that. We've got to know that. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And times in my life where everything is just a complete mystery. The clouds of darkness and despair and even death are just nothing. I don't see the sunlight anymore. Hey man, Jesus is not hearing my prayers. He's not answering me. Oh yes, He's hearing you. But maybe He's doing something more important than what you ever even imagined. But you be very careful, because here comes the false comforters. And then when Jesus does begin to show His face, you do get a hold of Jesus, you do read your Bible and spend time in prayer, you start accusing Him of things out of haste and anger. So there's false comfort here, there's hasty confrontation, but then there's obvious confusion. Look in verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto Him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, she's confused. She didn't hear what Jesus said. Now, don't miss that, what I just said. She didn't hear what Jesus said. Because she was acting in haste and anger and just kind of reacting in bitterness. She didn't really hear. He just told her, Martha, He's going to rise again. And she said, well, I know He's going to rise again in the last day. She just, it just went right over. She didn't hear what He said. She did not hear what He said. As a matter of fact, she corrected what He said. She tried to make it seem like what He said was something else. But what He was telling her was, He's going to rise again. I'm right here. He's going to rise again. I'm going to fix this problem now. And see, but she didn't hear what He said. She had no idea that. See, she was angry. She was upset. She was not thinking straight. And listen to me. When you get like that, you don't hear what God says. You hear what God says, but you don't hear it. You don't get it. It just goes right over in one ear and out the other. Amen?
Yeah.
You don't hear what the preacher says. You don't hear what the Bible says. You don't hear what the Holy Spirit says. God's trying to speak directly to you. He says, thy brother shall rise again. And she did not hear what he said. She's obviously confused because anger and bitter has stepped in and taken over now. And she's not understanding. She's not hearing things. And she's just hearing words that are not making any sense. Aren't you glad, listen to me, aren't you glad Jesus is compassionate?
Amen.
Aren't you glad Jesus is long-suffering?
Amen.
Aren't you glad Jesus, amen, knows our every weakness?
Amen.
Because look, he did not get upset with her. He did not get angry with her. He knew, he saw in Martha's eyes, he knew Martha's heart, by the way. He knew what was going on, and he knew what he was doing too,
right,
by the way, y'all.
Yeah.
And he said in verse 25, amen, glory to God.
Amen.
He's trying to impart some confidence. Into Martha had no confidence in Jesus anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
She had no confidence. Her faith was just all but dead. And Jesus said unto her, specifically, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. Now, yet shall he live.
Amen.
Amen. And he that, whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Now, Jesus did not give up on Martha.
Amen.
Jesus did not give up on her haste and her anger and her bitterness. He did not just say, okay, you know what, I think I'll go talk to somebody else. He said, no, Martha, listen to me. He said, stop a minute and listen to me. He said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
We're not talking about the last days. I'm talking about right now. I am here, Martha. I am right in front of you, Martha. I am the resurrection. I am the life.
Amen.
And your brother shall rise again.
Amen.
See, what he's doing right there, and of course at the end of that verse in 26, he says, believest thou this? He asked a very poignant question right there. Jesus lived to glorify his Father. You understand? All this was done for the glory of God. It says in verse 4, Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but before the glory of God.
Amen.
Jesus was living for the glory of God. He always did everything for God's glory. But listen to me. He also was trying to help Martha increase Martha's faith, increase Martha's confidence in him. In who he was. He didn't tell, hey, listen, he didn't tell her, I can. He said, I am.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We sang it tonight. I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
And am persuaded that he is able. It's not about so much about what he can do. It's about who he is. Glory to God.
Amen.
He is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
He is. I am. He says, I am, Martha. He said, Martha, you're missing the whole point. Quit worrying about what's happening in your life. Quit thinking about what's going on or not going on. And understand something. Remember who I am. I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, Jesus is trying to build Martha's faith. He's trying to impart some confidence that she has none right now. Jesus is stating her faith is going to help her come out of this bitterness. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Martha, if you believe what I'm saying to you, you won't be so angry. If you believe what I'm telling you, if you remember who I am, you won't be so bitter anymore. That's what he's trying to say. Folks, listen to me. I'm not telling you anything new here tonight. It's not so much about what Jesus did or didn't do. Jesus was trying to help us understand who he is. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
Amen.
That he is. Who? God. He is God.
Amen.
And then it says, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Him. See, Martha wasn't seeking Jesus. Martha was seeking what Jesus could do.
Yeah, yep, that's right.
Think about it now. Just a closer walk with thee.
Amen.
Granted, Jesus, 'tis my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Why? What's the point of a close walk with Jesus? Because listen, he's my help.
Right.
He's my strength.
Right.
He's the power.
Yes, sir.
Not what he can do, just him.
Amen.
We need to get a hold of that.
Amen.
What, again, I go back to the magnet message, amen? The magnet message, it's not about what he can do, it's just about us cleaving to him, because he himself, his presence, his power, his glory will keep us living above the flood.
Amen.
And the flood, listen, when the flood of doubts and confusion and confounding and my faith is just on the floor, dead, I'm weary, everything is wrong, Lazarus is dead. And listen, that's where we got to come to a point where we realize it doesn't matter what is happening, God has not changed.
Amen.
Jesus is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
It's about who he is. It's about who he is. Praise God. We have a God in heaven who cannot change.
That's right.
He cannot lie.
That's right.
He cannot fail.
Amen.
He cannot fail you, dearly beloved. He cannot fail his people. Now, the Bible plainly tells us, amen, that Jesus loved these folks. Jesus loved these folks. I want you to see over there in, verse 3. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Folks, you understand, that's our Savior.
Amen.
Now, why does the Bible point it out point blank that Jesus loved all three of them? Because God was about to do something that didn't seem like love.
Right?
It didn't seem like he really loved them. You know, we have to understand, though, that God's love is always there for us.
Amen.
No matter what's going on in our life, no matter where we're at, no matter if Lazarus is dead or alive, we're in the middle of a revival and God's helping me and God's speaking and answering prayer, or maybe I just can't hear anything at all.
Great.
And there's no more help and I feel like I'm all alone. Jesus hasn't changed.
Amen.
God hasn't changed.
Right.
His love has not gone away.
Right.
Hey, boy, I tell you what, though, there are days where you've got to realize and get a hold of what I'm saying and remember this.
Right.
And realize that Jesus will show up, amen. Jesus will come when he's ready, when it's time, when you need him the most. Not before, not after. He's always right on time. Why? Because he's Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's God Almighty. And see what he's doing, he's trying to help. Martha knew that Jesus was the answer. But Martha didn't have enough faith to understand that Jesus is the answer no matter what the problem.
That's right.
Well, think about this. She knew Jesus was the answer for her sick brother. That's good faith. I mean, that's good. Hey, man, all right, Martha, good job. But yet, Jesus is not enough for the dead brother. You hear what I just said? Is this all, man? Jesus is enough for my sick brother, but he's not enough for my dead brother. Because that's a bigger problem. That's a real problem. You know, sickness is one thing, but death, Jesus, he's gone. It's over. You lost. You forget it. Wait a minute. If he's enough for the sick, he's enough for the dead. He is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
There's nothing worse, amen? There's nothing worse in this world. The Bible says that the last enemy that we will ever face is death. No one's ever going to escape that enemy. But see, Jesus is right here reminding you and me that even the last enemy, the one that everybody has to face, he is still the resurrection, amen? He's the one that has overcome that.
That's right.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm telling you one thing. He's trying to impart confidence in Martha that she did not have.
Yeah.
Faith, growing her faith. See, Jesus is telling her, listen, if you will believe, look what he says in verse 26, believest thou this? What does he say? He said, if you'll believe me, who I am, Martha,
amen,
your bitterness will go away.
Yeah.
Your anger will go away.
Yeah.
Your despair will go away. It's not about what I've done or haven't done, Martha. It's about who I am. Martha, now it says right here, verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She did not say anything. Now listen, that's a beautiful confession there, amen? That's what Jesus was trying to get out of her.
Yeah.
to remind her, listen, her beautiful personal confession, this is where we see the difference that the resurrection makes in Martha's heart.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, listen to me. We're talking about the resurrection today, Easter Sunday and all of that. But understand, Jesus is the resurrection and the life every day. He is. I am, he said, the resurrection and the life. He has not changed. He will never change. The situation, listen, look at Luke verse 27 again. She said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art.
Amen.
That's what Jesus was trying to get her to.
Amen.
Lord, thou art that one, that Christ. Thou art the one.
Amen.
What happened in Martha's heart right there? The power of the resurrection. That's what happened in Martha's heart. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
That's what Martha's heart changed right there.
Amen.
She went from giving up on Jesus. She went from giving up on His power and His help and what He was going to do. She went from being bitter and upset and angry. But listen, the situation had not changed.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
The situation was still the same.
Yeah.
But Martha walked away different.
Amen.
Isn't that hallelujah? What a Savior.
Amen.
Lifted up was He to die. It is finished was His cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement can it be? Yes, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a Savior. I am the resurrection. I am the life.
Amen.
And Martha walked away from Jesus different.
Amen.
She had a little bit of revival right there.
Amen.
She had a big, as she walked away from Jesus different, she said, yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ,
amen,
the Son of God. Now, that's a good start. That's a beautiful confession. There was a resurrection of faith. There was some new life in Martha's heart right about there. Dearly beloved, listen, I believe that we need to remember every day, if we get that song in our heart, just a closer walk with Thee. Why? Because when we get closer to Jesus, amen, we'll walk away different.
Amen.
So don't walk away from Him ever. I understand that. But you know, when you get closer to Jesus, and then you have to turn around sooner or later and face reality, face life, you're going to be different.
That's right.
Because you're going to be reminded who He is.
Yeah.
The situation hadn't changed.
Right.
But now she's reminded, Jesus, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of God. I believe it, Lord. See, she's not scolding Him anymore.
Right.
She's not rebuking Him anymore. And Jesus was patiently dealing and working in her heart.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm just trying to get you to see something here. Every problem that we face, the answer is Jesus, right? Do we really know that, though? We drift away from Him. And remember, He hadn't been there now for days.
Right.
And what happens is you spend days without really spending any time with Jesus.
Yep, Lord. Amen.
Hello. You spend days without any real time with Jesus, and you wonder why your faith is getting weak, and you're not happy. You don't have any joy. Listen, the problem is not that Jesus has changed; it's that you've not been close enough. You haven't spoken with Him. You haven't spent enough time with Him. He's waiting there to help you. He said, "Martha, wait a minute. Remember who I am. I am the resurrection and the life." Colossians chapter 3, look over there with me quickly. Colossians chapter 3, I used this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Colossians 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, He is the resurrection, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look what verse 4 says. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Listen, the only reason that I'm alive, the only reason that I have anything to be excited about or live for, is because I'm dead I'm dead in sin, to my sins, and I'm alive in Christ.
Yeah.
Christ is now my life.
Right.
My life is hid with Christ in God. I don't have the same affections and desires, because not because of who Jesus or what Jesus did for me, but because He is my life. That's what He said to Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Life has no meaning without Jesus. Life has all meaning with Jesus.
Amen.
I am the resurrection. He said, the Bible says there, Christ who is our life. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Jesus is trying to tell Martha, Martha, I am what you need. I am who you need. I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Christian, listen to me tonight. Listen to me, dearly beloved. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No matter what you go through today or tomorrow or next week or next year, no matter what happens in your life, Jesus is still the resurrection. There's still coming a day. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. Look over there with me. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Amen. How many times does Paul say that? He says that all the time. Apparently, he was dealing with a lot of ignorant people. I'm glad that we don't have to deal with that anymore. Amen. But there's a lot of, I'm just kidding. There's a lot of ignorant people. But look what he says. Brethren, I would not have you be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. That means they're not dead. They're asleep in Christ. He says, that you saw or not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe that,
yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. What does that mean? That means if we're saved,
right.
If we really believe that, if we've trusted Christ, we believe, the Bible says if you confess with your heart the mouth of the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
It says here in verse, if we believe that in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, amen, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Listen, that's the resurrection that we're talking about. Jesus, the reason they're going to rise first, dearly beloved, is because they died in Christ. They fell asleep in Christ. Their life did not end, amen, it just went from earth to glory, and their resurrected body is because of Jesus. He is the reason that anybody's ever going to be resurrected. He is the first fruits of our resurrection. He is the first fruits. Listen, the Bible says, they which are dead in Christ shall rise first. Then Paul says, we which are alive and remain, he didn't make it that far, but somebody will be alive, and somebody will remain and be caught up together with them in the clouds, amen?
Yeah.
To meet the Lord in the air, glory to God, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why?
Amen.
Because He is the resurrection and the life. Christ in me, amen. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's what Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says. This is a mystery to us. Look over there with me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Among the Gentiles. Mystery. How can a saved person be saved forever? How can they know they're going to go to heaven? How can they know they have a resurrection? Because it's Christ in you. And listen, He is the resurrection.
Amen.
He is the life. So here's what He's saying. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You're going to come up out of the ground. If you die in Christ, you're going to be resurrected.
Amen.
If you live to remain and see the rapture, you're still going to be alive. Amen. So whether you die in Christ or you're alive in Christ, He is the resurrection and He is the life.
Amen.
That's it. It's Jesus, Christ in you. The only hope of glory.
Amen.
But it is all the hope you need. Jesus Christ. And see, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I know you've heard me quote it and we preached it before. Galatians 2, verse 20, though, fits right here. I am crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Nevertheless, Paul says, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, But Christ liveth in me. What's he saying is, Jesus is my life now. Nevertheless, I'm crucified. That's the old man. But I'm still alive. I'm alive now, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, because He is my life now. My life is hid with Him, in Christ, with God. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave Himself, loved me and gave Himself for me.
Amen.
Folks, that He is our life. He is the resurrection. If you happen to die tomorrow in Christ, He is your resurrection. If you happen to live to see the rapture, glory to God, that'll be fine. Amen. He is the life. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's Jesus Christ. He is everything to me. He is everything to anybody. He is in me. He that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
Martha needed to hear that. You need to hear that. We need to be reminded of that. We need to keep that in focus every day of our life, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
If you're going to run that race, you have to remember, Jesus is the resurrection, whether you die in Christ, or the life, whether you remain. You're alive because of Jesus.
Amen.
He is. And He cannot change. He does not come in and out. Look in Revelation chapter 3. Amen. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Now, and will sup with him, and he with me. You understand, folks? That's a beautiful picture of salvation right there.
Amen.
Jesus knocked on your door one day and told you you were lost, told you you were bound for hell, you're a sinner, you're never going to make it on your own. He said, but I'm knocking on your heart's door, like He was doing this morning in our church service.
Amen.
And I can look out across people's faces, and you can almost see Jesus knocking on their heart's door.
Amen.
Their countenance is just... But praise God, I was there one day.
Amen.
And so were you, amen.
Amen.
Jesus knocking on your heart's door. And He says, listen, if any man will hear my voice and open the door.
Amen.
Open the door.
Amen.
That's what happened on May 13th, 2004, 3551 Cindy Drive in Fort Worth, Texas. I opened the door. That wasn't salvation, though. I had to open the door, but He had to come in. The Bible says, if you'll open the door, I will come in.
Amen.
And you know what that is? You know what just came in my heart on that day? Was resurrection and life.
Amen.
Right, the hope of all glory. Jesus came in. And listen, hey, notice in that verse, you see Him leaving anywhere? You see Him leaving anywhere in that verse? I will come into Him. And I will sup with Him, and what does that mean? For the rest of your life, we're going to have a relationship.
Yeah.
We're going to have some fellowship. He doesn't say, I'm going to leave if you don't behave. Because He knows better than that.
Amen.
You're not going to behave. You're a sinner. You're just a sinner saved by grace.
Right.
Jesus said, I will come in. Hey, there is no mention of Him ever leaving.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what I'm talking about, dearly beloved. He is the resurrection and the life. He is in you the hope of glory. Whether you face the death clouds of sin. By the way, the wages of sin is death. I understand that. But the gift of God is eternal what? Life. Through Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the resurrection and the life. Martha was struggling, though, with all that. She hadn't meditated on that very much. She was facing a problem that was real. Lazarus was dead. God's help was not there. God's assistance did not show up. The world started off in a false comfort. And then they came before He did. And then when He did show up, when He did start speaking to her, she was angry because He didn't fix her problem. But thank God He was compassionate, and long-suffering. And He said, Martha, I know you're struggling. What you're struggling with is believing who I am. Go back to John 11 now. I want to show you one more thing here. There was a time of confounding in Martha's life. There was false comfort offered by the world. Oh, how I wish I could help you to be careful. Stop listening to what the world has to say.
Amen.
They don't have anything to give. They don't have any real comfort. They're going to try to make you believe that their way is better. They're going to try to make you believe their way is better. Hey, listen to me. It may even be people, backslidden old Christians who don't have a relationship with God, and they've gone out into the world, and they're going to make you believe that their way is better. The Bible tells you, you've got to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's in Colossians chapter 2. They'll spoil you. They'll spoil your faith, your confidence. They'll offer you false comfort. And then you'll get hasty and start rebuking Jesus and start getting angry at the Bible and God and bitter, full, and then you'll be confused, and God's trying to help you. You won't even hear Him. You won't hear what He says. But He's going to keep on. He's going to keep on trying to help if you'll stay. Listen, by the way, let's go back to that for a second. She went out to meet him. She rebuked him. She scolded him. But she didn't leave.
Right.
Let me just stop right there for a second. Even when you're struggling to believe and understand what's going on in your life, don't leave.
That's right.
Don't leave Jesus. Don't leave His presence. Don't leave. He puts you where you're at. Don't leave. Don't run away. Because you're not going to ever understand it if you walk away. Thank God Martha didn't leave. Thank God Jesus was trying to help her, but she stayed there and she listened. And He said, I am, I am, I am. And she said, yeah, Lord, I believe that. And something changed in her heart. But listen, God wasn't done with her yet. God wasn't done with her yet. I want to show you lastly. Yes, there was a beautiful confession there. Jesus was working to impart confidence and faith, but there was still a stone covering the cave. There was still a stone covering the cave. Look in verse 38, John chapter 11. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He hath been dead 4 days. Jesus and her said, I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone.
Amen.
Then they took away the stone. See, Jesus was doing everything He could do to help Martha, to grow her faith, to increase her faith, to make her stronger in understanding who God is. Folks, that's the key. If you don't make it anything else tonight, get a grip on who Jesus is.
Amen.
He is everything to you. If He's not, you're going in the wrong direction. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I count all things but dung that I might win Christ, that I might have that fellowship with Him, that I might have that close relationship. He is everything we need.
Amen. That's right.
But there's a stone somewhere. There's a stone somewhere in our lives that He's not going to ignore, by the way. He's not going to ignore it. See, Martha's already confessed, thou art the Christ. That's a picture of salvation. That's a picture of salvation. I don't know if Martha was saved before that, but if she wasn't, she is now. Thou art the Christ, thou art the one, thou art the Son of God. Listen, she confessed that Jesus was who He said He was, the Son of God.
Amen.
If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, She confessed it with her mouth, believing in her heart that he was indeed. Listen, she did not continue to batter and beat him up. She said, "Lord, that's right."
Yep.
She turned to faith.
Amen.
Okay, but that wasn't the end. There was a stone in her life. There's a stone in her life. There's a stone in your life. There's going to be lots of stones in your life. Covering up caves of darkness that Jesus wants access to. It's, we look at it as if it's maybe he's invading our privacy. Don't be foolish. Don't be ridiculous.
That's right. Come on.
He's not at all trying to barge in. When he saved us, amen, he deserves all of us.
Yeah, right.
Understand something. It's a beautiful thing that he allows us to be involved in his working in our lives. He allows us to be involved in miracles that he does the miracle. Amen. But somebody's got to move the stone. He allows us to. Could he not have moved the stone? Amen. Of course he could have moved the stone. I mean, he could have said, "Stone, be dust." I mean, he could have just looked at it. I mean, he didn't even need to lift a finger. But he said, "Martha, move the stone." See, Jesus remembered. He remembered verse 27. "Yea, Lord, I believe." He remembered that. He said, "Okay, Martha, you said that. Now, let's prove it. Let's prove it." Oh. Martha, move the stone. Lord, I believe. But see, God is always working on the stones.
Amen.
Look at Romans 4, and I'll be done. Romans 4. Romans chapter number 4, beginning in verse 16. Romans 4, verse 16. The stone in Abraham's life had to be moved also. There's stones in your life, dearly beloved, that God's saying, "Listen, you got to move that before I can work."
Right.
Romans 4, verse 16, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Now, who against hope, we're talking about Abraham, against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, "So shall thy seed be." And being, verse 19, "not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Folks, listen to me. Faith is not words. Faith is deeds. Faith is action. Faith is being fully persuaded and then performing what God tells you to perform. You cannot consider. Look what it says there again in verse 19. He was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. And I'm not going to get into the biology of the whole thing, but he and Sarah were way past the childbearing years.
Right.
But what the Bible's saying is that Abraham, based on the promises of God, he went ahead and followed through with what had to be done, not considering his deadness of his body nor the deadness of his wife's womb.
Yeah.
He did what God told him to do. Listen, it didn't make any sense that you had to move a stone away. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. It doesn't make any sense. I'm 100 years old. My wife is 91. It doesn't make any sense that we're going to have a child. But you cannot consider what the natural thing. You have to realize God can do what God says He's going to do. But we've got to be fully persuaded and move the stone.
That's right.
Move the stone. There's a stone over the cave somewhere. Amen. Look in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Look, let's jump over there, verse 19. James 2, verse 19. "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Martha believed that too, amen. The Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Jesus is saying, okay, Martha, you've shown your faith in your word. Now I want to see your faith in your works. Move the stone. Okay, now let's read on in verse in James chapter 2 there. Was not Abraham, verse 21, our father justified by works in the sight of men? He proved to men that he believed God. That's what that word means. That's what that verse means. When he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar, God just did not leave Abraham alone, did he? First he said, Abraham, I want you to go into your wife at 100 years old. Don't worry about your deadness of your body, the deadness of her body. I want you to go into your wife and conceive a child. Okay, now Abraham, years later, I want you to take that child that I gave you and offer him up as a sacrifice to me. Man alive, God's just beating Abraham up. No, he's not. He's working and building his faith.
Yeah.
Look what it says here. Seest thou in verse 22 how faith wrought with his works. And look, don't miss verse 22. This is crucial. And by works was faith made perfect.
Yeah. Amen.
Preacher, my faith is kind of waning. I remember when I used to work in the world, and I was in Bible college. People found out I was a preacher, you know, and they would come to me and say, "I'm struggling in my faith." That's what they'd always say. "I'm struggling in my faith." I said, "Well, are you saved?" "Yeah, I'm saved, but I just struggling in my faith." And of course, I look at their life and I think, "Duh." You're smoking, you're drinking, you don't go to church, you tell me you're saved, but I doubt that completely. But yet you're struggling in your faith, because without faith, the Bible says the only way your faith is going to be made perfect is by you working, you doing what God says.
Amen.
Abraham's faith was made perfect by his works. Abraham's faith grew and became stronger because he learned how to move the stone back here years ago. Now God's got another stone. Now offer that boy up to me as a burnt offering. Abraham believed God. We know that. Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, imputed righteousness. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. Now there's works to be done. The scripture in verse 23 was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works of faith, a man is justified not by faith only. What's that mean? That means my faith in God is true with my heart, my belief unto righteousness. But listen, I'm going to justify and prove that faith to men around me and to God by working what he says to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible.
Right.
Everything God's doing in your life right now is because he's trying to grow your faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Faith is not a hocus-pocus, ooey-gooey feeling. It's not a feeling. It's taking God at his word and moving the stone. And then when you do that, you say, "Praise God, look at what God's given us. Look at what God's done. Look at what," and then all of a sudden you wake up, there's another stone. Can I say this, get used to the stones? Abraham got used to the stones, didn't he? Get used to the stones. They're there to help you.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
When you move the stone, then you get to see God do something that only God can do.
Right.
And he says, okay, move the stone. Give up your fear, your doubt, your anger, your bitterness, whatever it is, give it up, move it out of the way, and let me show you and remind you who I am. Call unto me. And we do that, amen. He says, I will answer thee. And he says, but when he answers us, he says, move the stone.
Yeah. Amen.
Move the stone. Okay. He said, I'm going to show you great and mighty things, which thou never hast, but move the stone.
Yeah.
No. Where's the stone at? Let's bow for prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he is the resurrection and the life. We have resurrection power. We have life evermore.